How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Yud Zayin, I think, of Masechta Bav Metzia. Okay, Daf Yud Zayin. Here we go. Exciting times. I have a feeling this is going to be a long one. All right. Well, it's the morning. What time is it? It's very early. I'm recording early in the morning this morning. Let's go weiter. Okay, we're going to start in Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. Like 5-10 lines before it gets wide at the two dots. Amr Babo says, Rab Abo, what does he say? Amr Biochanan, Hamotzi Shtarchov Bashuk. Okay, a fellow finds a Shtarchov, a document, right? It says, Shimon lent Reuven $1,000. Okay, so Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Afapisha Kosubo Henpik. Even though there's a henpik written on it, lo yachzir lebailim, do not return it to Shimon. Lamibaya echad lo kosov bo henpik. So obviously, if there's no henpik on it, the ikalimemer kosov levos for the lovel, afilu kosov bo henpik, manu de mikuyim, lo yachzir de chashin and the pharaon. Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, shnaikis. Wow. Wow. Shnikes. Holy shnikes. Holy moly. Wow. What's today? Monday? I review this on Saturday night. Okay. No problem. No problem. No problem. I got this. That's all right. That's all right. I got this. Drink more coffee. Have you tell me what a henpik is? I feel like a henpik has come up recently, right? Henpik is that it's like, I don't know, an addendum or something. It's be'etzim. It's a shtar mekuyim. Bezdin says, yeah, we vouch for this document. Shimon did, in fact, lend Reuven $1,000. Reuven owes, it is a valid document. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. So again, I'm a babo, I'm a bilchon. I'm a shtar chum bashuk. Okay, so a fellow finds a loan document in Shuk Machne Yehuda, afapisha kosov bo henpik, even though it's validated, okay, which means that we know that Shimon did in fact lend Reuven $1,000, and that this is a valid document attesting to that. Lo yachzir levailim, nonetheless, do not return the document to Shimon. Lo miboye echad lo kosov bo henpik. Okay, obviously, if there was no validation on the document, we have to be concerned that, well, maybe the loan never happened, right? If you just see a document that says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, well, or that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, maybe the loan never, in fact, took place. But if it's validated by Beis Din, well, then we know that Beis Din validated that the loan did, in fact, take place, and Reuven does owe Shimon $1,000, but ela afilu kosbo henpik umayniu demikuyim lo yachzir. But nonetheless, even if there's a henpik, do not return the document to Shimon de chashinu the pharaon, because we are concerned that perhaps the loan has already been paid back. Okay, we are concerned that the loan has already been paid back. Eisvei Rabbi Yirmiyah l'Rababo, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Akasha to Rababo. Komaisi Bezdin, Reza Yachzir. The Mishnah says, on Daf Chof, that we also learned about yesterday, that Komaisi Bezdin, Reza Yachzir, that whenever you have a Maisi Bezdin, we want to assume that this means that there's a henpik, so you return it to Shimon. Omerlei, Yirmiyah Bri. So Rababo says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says, Yirmiyah, my son, lo Komaisi Bezdin Shovim. Not all my sebezins are the same. Elo kigon shehuchzok kafrin. Look, when the Mishnah says that kol my sebezin ariza yachzir, that if you find a document that's validated with a henpik on it, you can give it back to Shimon, that's only in a scenario where Reuven, the borrower, has been proven to be a liar. And because he's been proven to be a liar, so therefore we can't trust him to say that he has paid back the loan. So even if he would say that I already paid it back, we wouldn't believe him. And therefore, we give back the document to Shimon to collect it, because you know, the only reason why we wouldn't give it back to him is Chashin the Pharaoh, and that we're concerned that maybe it's been paid back, but Reuven's a liar, so I guess that we wouldn't trust him anyways, and therefore to say that he paid it back, so therefore we return it to Shimon. But oh my Rav, it says Rav, Mishum Duhzo Kafin Chada Zimna Sulo Parakla. But Rav doesn't like that answer, because he says, look, if the point is Chayshin and the Pharaoh that we're concerned that, right, I mean, if the reason to not give this validated loan document back to Shimon is because, well, we're concerned that maybe it has already been paid back. Now, this concern that it's already been paid back has nothing to do with whether Reuven is a liar or not, right? And that's what Rav is asking. Because one time he turned out to be a liar, sulo para klal, that means that he's never going to pay back his loans. Okay, fine. Maybe he's found to be dishonest. Maybe if he says something, we have to second guess it. But there's nothing. This has nothing to do with what Reuven said or not. This has to do with what he did. Did he pay it back or not? Right? We're concerned that maybe it has been paid back. And even if Reuven one time lied, that doesn't mean that he never pays back his loans. And therefore, if you find a loan document, even if Reuven is a liar, there is still a there's still that same possibility that maybe it has been paid back, right? Just because he lied one time doesn't mean that he never pays back his loans. We still have to be concerned that maybe the loan was paid back. So therefore, again, how do we understand the Mishnah that says that Kol Ma'aseh Beis Din Ari Zeh Yachzir? So Elo Amar Rav Masnisim B'Shtar Chaltoso V'Adrach L'Chud Reb Zeira. Rather, it's like Reb Zeira had said earlier on the Amud that Mishnah is talking about Shtar Chaltoso V'Adrach, these other kinds of loans. It's talking about these other kinds of loans, these other kinds of documents that refer to Shimon being able to collect property from Reuven, but these aren't, right? When we say that if you find these loan documents, when we say, call Ma'aseh Beis Din Ari Zeh Yachzir, that these Ma'aseh Beis Din can be returned to Shimon, we are not talking about a Shtar Chov. We are talking about Shtari Chaltoso, Shtari Adrachto. Those can be returned, but a loan document, even if it has, even if it's been validated, we would not return it to Shimon, because we would be concerned that perhaps it has already been paid back. Okay, moving on. The Kafran. Okay, now in terms of liars, Hov Asal Yodon, once already we're talking about liars, Neba Bey Milsa, let us say epis about liars. Domer of Yosef Bar Manyomi Omer Rav Nachman, Omru Lo, Tzei Tain Lo. Okay, if Beis Din told Reuven, you need to right now pay Shimon. Velma Paraiti, okay, and now at some later point, Reuven says, yeah, of course, Beis Din told me to pay Shimon, I paid Shimon. Neman, okay, so we believe Reuven. After all, Beis Din was pretty direct with him and said, Reuven, pay Shimon. At some later point, Reuven says, yeah, I paid Shimon. So Neman, we believe him. But Malve Lichtov, if the Malve, when Rashi says Neman v'shvuas heses, he would still have to swear midirabona that he in fact paid. Okay, now if Shimon comes back to Beis Din, Shimon comes to Beis Din, he says, hey, Reuven didn't pay me. I want you to write me a document so that I can collect property from him. Right? So Bamal Velichtov, he wants to write the Shtar Adrachta. Ain Kos Vinosten Lo. We don't write the Shtar Adrachta for the Malva, for Shimon, because we trust Reuven. Chayev Ato Litain Lo. But if what Beis Din instructed, or not really instructed, is kind of the point. If what Beis Din concluded or said is that you have an obligation to pay Shimon, that's different than saying you need to now pay Shimon, right? He's saying you have an obligation to pay Shimon. Well, if that's the case, it's less sort of demanding, less sort of urgent. V'omer paraiti, if at some later point Reuven comes and says, yeah, I paid Shimon, eino ne'amon, Reuven is not believed in this scenario, but malve lichtov kosvin v'nosten lo, and if Shimon comes and says, hey, Reuven hasn't paid me back, I want you to write a shtar drachta for me so that I can collect from his property, so we oblige, and we do so. We write that for Shimon. Rav Zvid Mishmei Rav Nachman Omar says, Rav Zvid Mishmei Rav Nachman. So this first statement was Rav Yosef Bar Manyomi Mishmei Rav Nachman. This is Rav Zvid Mishmei Rav Nachman. Bein Tzeitein Lo, Bein Chayevat Litin Lo. Regardless of if Beis Din says you must pay Shimon now or you have an obligation to pay Shimon, Vamar Paraiti, and at some later point, Reuven says, I paid back Shimon, Nemon, he is believed. And if Shimon comes and says, hey, can you write me a shtar drachta so that I can collect from his property? We do not write this document for Shimon. But if there's going to be a difference between chayiv atalitain lo versus chayiv atalitain lo, it is the following. Omrulo tzeitain lo. If they said to Reuven, go now and pay Shimon. Ve'omar paraiti, and he says that I have already, at some later point, he says, I have already paid back Shimon. Ve'aidim me'idin oso shelo pra'o, but witnesses come and say that after Beis Din said to Reuven, Reuven, you must pay Shimon. And then witnesses come and say that in front of us, Shimon then said to Reuven, okay, pay up. And Reuven did not pay up, even after Beis Din. So meaning, that doesn't necessarily mean that Reuven, at some later point, never paid Shimon. We don't know that, but what we do know is that Beis Din told Reuven, you must now go and pay Shimon. There were witnesses who witnessed Shimon requesting for Reuven to be paid, and Reuven denying that request. So, being that that is the, meaning, because the expectation is that if Beis Din demanded of Reuven to pay Shimon, and then Shimon got witnesses and requested that Reuven pay him, Reuven must pay up. He has to acquiesce to the demand of Beis Din. He can't back out at this point. And if witnesses testify that at this point he did back out, yeah, it's possible that at some later point Reuven did pay Shimon, as Reuven now claims. But since Beis Din had demanded of Reuven to pay Shimon, there was an expectation that he would have, that he must pay in front of these witnesses. These witnesses are saying that he did not pay in front of them. Therefore, we cannot believe him when he says that he has paid. Okay, so again, so the following distinction can be made is that Amrulo Tzeitainlo, that if Bez, I'm reading this again, that if Beis Din says to Reuven, you must pay Shimon, the Omar Paraiti, and he comes at some later point and he says, yeah, I did pay Shimon, but but witnesses testified that actually we witnessed Shimon asking Reuven for the money and him not paying it. So then we assume that Reuven is a liar. We cannot trust him with regard to this money that he owes Shimon. Chayev ato litein lo, but if Beis Din said to Reuven, Reuven, you have an obligation to pay Shimon, v'omer paraiti, and at some later point he says, yeah, I fulfilled my obligation to pay Shimon, v'edim idinoso shelo paro, but witnesses say that after Beis Din had instructed Reuven that he has an obligation to pay Shimon, Shimon comes to Reuven with witnesses, and he says, Reuven, pay me, and Reuven does not pay him. And then he says but then subsequently he claims in court that he did pay Shimon at a later point. He is not going to be considered a liar with regard to this payment, because ishtamutehu kot mishtamit mine sovra adim ainu bi rabbonin bedini. So he was just kind of slipping out of it because he figured that, you know, when Beis Din makes me swear that I paid, to them I will be, I will tell the truth. Wait one second. Where am I? Okay. No. Oh, the chemzo. Wait, where am I? Wait 1 second. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I think Rashi says Lo Chsal Kavu Vinish Basha Pro, right? And then based in he swears that he paid him back. So meaning in this scenario, where Bezdin says to Reuven, you have an obligation to pay Shimon, and then Shimon comes with witnesses and he says, okay, Reuven, pay me back, and he declines, does not pay Shimon back. But then he later comes to Bezdin and he says that yes, but I have paid Shimon since then. So then he swears that he's telling the truth and he's not going to be considered a liar, and we would trust him, because in this case where Bezdin is not saying you need to pay him now, right, but saying you have an obligation. So in that case, he says, look, Bezdin is not, you know, we're not at the end of the line over here. You know, Bezdin says, I have an obligation. Okay, so I have an obligation and I will fulfill that obligation, but I don't need Shimon to force me right now. Like I'll do it. And when Bezdin makes him swear that he, you know, he's not going to, you know, if he comes to Bezdin and he swears, well, let's say this, he's not going to swear falsely in Bezdin. And if he says that he did subsequently pay Shimon, we do believe him, because the sort of demand of Bezdin initially was not as extreme, right? So in the first case, when Bezdin says, Reuven, you must pay Shimon right now, and then Shimon comes with witnesses to Reuven and says, Reuven, pay me, and Reuven denies it, that's a red line. But if Bezdin merely says, okay, Reuven, you have an obligation to pay Shimon, so Reuven's like, okay, I get it. I have an obligation to pay Shimon. I'll do it. You know, when Shimon comes with witnesses and says, okay, Reuven, pay me, Reuven's like, yo, chill out, dude. Like, I'll do it. I'll do it. Bezdin didn't say you have to do it right now. He said, I have to pay you. I will pay you. Like, leave me alone. I'll get you your money. Right? So when he then comes to Bezdin and he swears in Bezdin that he did subsequently pay Shimon, we can believe him, because, you know, he didn't, you know, the demand of Bezdin initially that he pay them was not as extreme, and therefore we believe him when he says, I feel like I'm going in circles here, but we believe him when he says that, you know, initially when Shimon came with the witnesses, he's like, yo, chill, you know, I'm not doing this right now, but I will get you the money. And when he swears in Bezdin that he did in fact subsequently get Shimon the money, we believe him when Bezdin only said that you have an obligation to pay Shimon versus you must pay Shimon now. Fine. Okay. Amar Rabba bar Chano, says Rabba bar Chano, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mana li be yod cha. Okay, so Shimon says to Reuven, you owe me $100. Vala omer ein licha be yodi klum. And Reuven says, no, I don't. Ve'aedim me'idim oso she yeshlo. And then witnesses testify that actually Reuven does owe Shimon $100. V'chazav amar parati, and then Reuven says, yeah, but I already paid it back. Huchzak kafron lo oso mamun. He will be considered a liar vis-a-vis that money. Ki ha de shabtai brei to a marinus, kosovla lichalte itztala de melso b'chsuboso, that Shabtai brei to a marinus wrote to his daughter-in-law that he was going to, he wrote in the ksuba that he was going to provide for her a very fine garment. All right, why would he be writing to his daughter-in-law? Her dad doesn't the fa doesn't wouldn't her father write her dowry? Why would her father-in-law be contributing to her dowry? I don't know. Am I making a mistake here? I don't know. The kibla ale, and okay, and he accepted upon himself that he was going to provide this fine garment. Irkas ksubasa, but then she lost her ksuba. Omar, and he says, lo hayu dvar me'olam, that I don't know what you're talking about, fine garment. Asu saide, but then witnesses came, va'amri, they said, in kosovla. Yeah, no, he definitely did write this. The sof amr luhu paraite, then he says, okay, yeah, but I already paid it, I already gave the garment. Asu l'kam d'b'chia, amin l'uchzak d'kafen, lo se'itzla. And b'chia says, sorry, you've already been, you know, established as a liar vis-a-vis this garment. Amr Avin, Amr Bilo, Amr Yochanan, Hayachayv Lachavir Shvua. Okay, so Reuven had to swear to Shimon. Vamin Ishbaiti. And he says, okay, I swore to Shimon. Vaidim Idin also Shalon Ishba, but witnesses testified that he didn't swear to Shimon. So Reuven is considered a liar with regard to that swear. They said this before Rabbi Amarlu, and he said to them, "Savim Yosef to Rabbi Oven." I understand, right? What Rabbi Oven says makes sense to me. Shin is chayv shvua bebezdin. If he had to swear in bezdin, aval chayv chiyev atzmo shvua. But if Reuven outside of bezdin committed to a swear neemon, so then you know he would still be believed because Ovid inish demikre veomar, because a person would say. What does Rashi say? Ovid inish demikre veomar lo ese mashalo chivuni bezdin elani baatzmi veinzo sarvonis v'charote ad dachia ba'alma. So meaning, it's like similar to the chayv atalitin lo versus tzeitain lo. Meaning, if bezdin says he's chayv shvuah, then he's got to do it. But when he is mechayv himself a shvuah, so he's just kind of like pushing Shimon off until he's ready to do it. But he wouldn't necessarily be considered a liar if he said that he did it and he didn't yet do it. Adrua Kame, Rabbi Oven, they came back to Rabbi Oven and said what Rabbi Bo said about Davke being Chayv Shvu and Bezdin. Amrulu, he says, Ananami, the Bezdin Ami. I also was Davke talking about when Bezdin was Mechayv him a Shvua. It Manami was also stated, Amr Bovin, Amr Billa, Amr Biochanan. If Bezdin was mechayev a fellow a shvua from an ishbaitin, then he says, "I swore to this guy." Also shalonish, but then witnesses say no in front of right. We Shimon brought us and said to Reuven in front of us, swear, and he didn't swear. Huchzak kafin lo shvua, would be considered a liar vis-a-vis that shvua. Okay. Drinking a little bit more coffee. Got to keep the caffeine levels up. Amar Asi, Amar Yochanan. Amotze Shtarchov Bashuk. Interesting. Okay. So says, Asi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amotze Shtarchov Bashuk. Okay. So somebody finds a document in Shuk Machni Yehuda that says that Reuven owes, right, that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, and if Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, Mechosav Bo Henpik. And it's been validated. So we know for sure that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Because of Bo, Zmano, Bo Bayom. And alas, the time, the date on the document is punkt that day, is that day. So you found a Shtarchov, that's that root, right? And it's been Mekuyim, so we know that the loan took place. Davka took place that day. Okay, so now what would be the reason not to return the document? Well, maybe Reuven already paid it back. Okay, but in this case, we're saying Yachziru Levail. You can give it back to Shimon because Imshum Kosav Lovos V'lo Lava. Well, if we're concerned that maybe the loan never happened, well, Hakosav Bo Henpik. It's a Shtar Mekuyim. It's been validated. We know that the loan happened. Imshum Peiroon. And if we're concerned, well, maybe Reuven already paid it back. Well, the Friya Bas Yoma Lo Chashinan. We don't assume that if the document was written that day, Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon that day. They went to court. They got a whole document written. That seems like you're preparing for like kind of long-term kind of stuff. We don't assume that a loan document, a loan that was taken out that day was already paid that day. And therefore, you can return it to Shimon. Amar le Reb Zeir le Reb Asi, mi Amar Reb Yochanan Ochi. It says Reb Zeir to Reb Asi, does Reb Yochanan really say this? That we're not concerned that maybe the loan was paid back that day? Ha Atu, the Amit Mishmei Reb Yochanan, Reb Asi, you said the name Reb Yochanan, Shtar Shalova Bo Ufrao, that if there's a document that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, and therefore Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and Reuven pays back Shimon $1,000, you can't reuse that same document, because the shibud of the document, the obligation of the document, has already been released when Reuven pays back Shimon. Now, Amos. Now, when is Reuven paying back Shimon? If maybe it was tomorrow or the next day, right? that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and Reuven paid him back a few days later. But my irya shekvar nimchol shibudo. Well, then we're saying that you can't reuse the document. We're saying that you can't reuse the document because it's already been sort of used one time. It's used up. But typically, tavle mukdom. Anyways, that document would be unusable since the date is wrong. The date is, of course, from a few days earlier. Right? So if we're talking about that Reuven paid back Shimon a few days later, well, then obviously you can't reuse that document because the date on the document will no longer be appropriate. It's a few days later now. The date was when it was when the loan happened a few days earlier. You can't use a loan document with an earlier date on it. So rather it must be that if we're considering whether or not that document can be reused, it must be talking about where Reuven paid back Shimon on that day. And we're saying that this is right, this is Rabbi Yochanan, right? This is right, it says right, Reb Zera is asking a kasha saying, how atu do amrit mishmei Rabbi Yochanan? You, Reb Asi, said in Rabbi Yochanan, this, you know, halacha, that you can't reuse the document because it's already been used. And clearly, if there's a possibility to reuse the document, we're talking about where it was paid back that very day, where the date would still be correct. So I'm a pro incha biyomi. So clearly, then we see that people do pay back on that very day. Omale. Rabasi says, Mikamina dilo pra'i klal. What did I say that people never pay back on the same day? I didn't say that. Dilo shriche inche de pra'i biyoma kamina. What I'm saying is that it's not common. And therefore, if you find a document in Shuk Machne Yehuda that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 and it's dated that day, the question is, can you give it back to Shimon? Well, we're saying, we're talking about a shtar mekuyim. There's a hempik on it, so we know that the loan happened. It happened that day. The chances of Reuven having paid back Shimon that very day are not great. Therefore, we can give the document back to Shimon, assuming that Shimon probably lost it and Reuven has not yet paid him back. Rav Kahana Omer Kshechayev Mode. Rav Kahana says it's talking about where Reuven admits, right? So meaning, found the document Shuk Machne Yehuda. It says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Reuven admits that it's correct. The date is that day, so we can give it back to Shimon. Yehachi, if it's talking about where Reuven admits, Ma'ale Meim, what's the chiddush? If Reuven admits that he owes Shimon $1,000, then what's the chiddush? Of course, you should be able to give it to Shimon. Hai. So Ma'udetema may have thought, Hai Mifra Pra'e. Well, I may have thought that actually, maybe Reuven already paid back Shimon. Maybe Reuven already paid back Shimon. V'haduka Omar lo Pra'ate. And the reason why Reuven is saying that he hasn't paid back Shimon is Mishum Dekabay Mahadur Lemizfa Be Zimna Achrise V'lef Shite De Safra Chayish. Interesting. So maybe I should not return the document to Shimon because maybe Reuven actually already paid back Shimon the money. And the reason why Reuven is saying that he owes the money to Shimon is just because he wants to be able to reuse the same document, right? Meaning Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. They wrote up a document. It was that day. And Reuven already has paid back Shimon, but he wants to borrow another $1,000 from Shimon. And he figures, well, we have this document that's dated on this day. Why don't we just reuse it? Why should I pay a lawyer to draft up another document? I can just use the same one. So now that wouldn't work because as we learned earlier, shekvanim choshibudo, that you can't reuse that document once it's already been repaid. Okay. So what are we saying? So we're saying that if you find a document in Shuk Machne Yehuda that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 and it's been mekuyim and Reuven admits that he owes the money, we can give it back to Shimon. Okay, isn't that obvious since Reuven owes the money? It's not obvious because I may have thought that, well, maybe we should be concerned that it has in fact already been paid back and, you know, they're just trying to double dip on the document. So we say, kamash milan, that we're not concerned. Dim kein, malva gufe, lo shavak, sover, shami be rabonon, umafside li. So we say, no, we can return the document to Shimon. We're not concerned that maybe they're trying to reuse the document because Shimon, the lender, would never allow for that. He has absolutely nothing to gain from that, and he has potentially everything to lose in that if Beis Din finds out that he lent money again and reused the same document without getting it rewritten, they're not going to allow him to collect with it. So Shimon has absolutely zero interest, has absolutely nothing to gain and everything to lose by allowing this scheme, allowing this dishonesty, allowing this document to be reused. Shimon says, no way. If Beis Din finds out, they will, they won't allow me to use the document to collect with. And therefore he will insist that a new document be drafted. Therefore, there is no concern that there's any issues with this document because it's a shtar mekuyim. We know that the loan happened, and because Reuven admits that it's a real document and that he needs to pay it back, we can believe it because if he did already pay it back, well, then Shimon would not allow it to be reused. Well, fact the Gemara, Maishno Mehod Etnan. But what about the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Yud Beis? Motzo Shtarei Chov, that if a person finds a Shtar Chov, Im Yesh Bo Achrayis Nechosim Lo Yachzir, that if there is Achrayis Nechosim, you cannot return it. You cannot return it. Vil Kimna. And in the Gemara, we had said, or at least one of the options was, Kishachayev Mod, that it's talking about where Reuven admits that he owes the money. Umishum Shemakosov Lilvos Benisin Vlolova Ad Tishre Vasu Limitchev Lekuchis Benisin Vad Tishre Shelo Kadin. So we had said, right, we had learned the other day, that if you find a document that says that Shimon lent $1,000 to Reuven, and the document has Achrayis Nechosim, so we said that it cannot be returned to Shimon. We said, why can't we return it to Shimon? Well, we are concerned that maybe the date was wrong, that maybe it said one date on it, but the loan only happened later on. And therefore, out of that concern, you can't return it to Shimon because maybe then he will collect from the Chosm Shubadim from the earlier date. Okay. But why don't we have the same concern there and say, no, that's not actually a concern. Because if that's the case, then the document is not a valid document, and Shimon would be concerned that he would Beis Din would take it away from him and deny him the ability to collect with it. And why don't we say that that isn't actually a concern because Shimon would not allow, right, would not use a document that is problematic. Right, where am I? Shalokadin, v'lo aminon, and we don't say, de'im kein malve gufe lo shavik. And we don't say, wait, no, that's not actually a concern, because Shimon would never allow this document to fly. De amale, because he would say to Reuven, k'sov shtar achrino, write a different document, right? Meaning, if the document said nissen, but the loan only happened 6 months later in Tishrei, B'tishrei, right? So Shimon said to Reuven, write another document in Tishrei d'dimo shame rabbonon umafzeli, because maybe the rabbis are gonna find out about this document that it says nissen, but that the loan really happened 6 months later in Tishrei, and they're gonna deny me the ability to collect with it. So how come over here in this scenario where you find the document that says that there was a loan and it took place today, we say you can return it because we know that Shimon would not reuse this document since he would be, you know, if Beis Din finds out, he'd be in trouble. And yet, the other day, when we had the scenario of where you find a document in the Shuk and there's Achrayis Nechosim, don't return it to Shimon because maybe it has the wrong date on it. Why don't we say the same thing there as well? Right? We said over there also, it's b'chayev, k'shechayev moda, when Reuven admits that it's a real document. Why don't we say the same thing there? That no, of course we can assume that the loan happened on the day that it's written, because if it didn't, Shimon would be concerned that the Chacham would not allow him to collect with it. So they say, Amre hasa mishum de islay ravcha de katarif the kuchis minisin ve'ad tishrei. Well, there is a humongous difference. In our case over here, when it's dated today, and the only concern is that maybe Reuven will want to reuse this document since the date is right, Shimon has everything to lose and absolutely nothing to gain, right? By reusing this document, Shimon risks Beis Din finding out and he will be unable to retrieve and to collect his $1,000 from, right? I don't know what I just said, Reuven or Shimon. Shimon has everything to lose. If Beis Din finds out, he will be unable to retrieve his $1,000 from Reuven. He has absolutely nothing to gain. That is not the case by the Nisan Tishrei situation, because the whole reason why we say don't return it to Shimon is because maybe the date is Nisan, but the loan only happened in Tishrei, and therefore what? And therefore, during that whole 6-month period, Shimon can be collecting property that Reuven has sold, right? It would be considered nechasim mishubadim. There was actually Shimon does have what to gain in that scenario, and therefore he might say, you know what? It's true. Beis Din might find out that the document is problematic and they won't allow me to collect with it. But at the same time, if they don't find out, I can be collecting from this nechasim mishubadim. So he does have what to gain in that scenario, and therefore, we don't assume that Shimon wouldn't let this document fly. He might let it fly because he can be collecting from the Nechasim Mishubadim. That is not the case in our scenario where it was dated today, where, you know, there's no like window where you could be collecting Nechasim Mishubadim. It's from that same day. So Menach Nichalei, right, in the other case, by Nisan and Tishrei, so there actually is something for Shimon to gain. Velo and maybe Shimon won't say anything, even though the date is Nisan and the loan only happened in Tishrei. But Hacha, but in this case, in our case, I don't think I skipped anything. In our case, where it's dated that day, came the Leislei Ravcha, since there's nothing for Shimon to gain, the Sof Sof Shtara Ha'idniksiv, because it was the document was written today, so Ma'ika Dikatarif the kuches b'shtar shenimchol shibudo lo shavik, right? So there are no lekuches for him to be toref if it happened today, and therefore Shimon has absolutely nothing to gain by allowing Reuven to reuse this document that Beis Din could potentially find out about and deny Shimon the ability to collect with it. Omer b'chir bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan. Hatoin acher maise Beis Din, lo omar klum. My time ko maise Beis Din, k'man denokit shtar b'yodei domi. Okay. So it says b'chir bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan. Hatoin acher maise Beis Din. What does this mean, hatoin acher maise Beis Din? So maise Beis Din here means t'nai Beis Din. What's an example of a t'nai Beis Din? A t'nai Beis Din is a ksuba. Right? We learn Masecht Ksubis. Monomosai, right? A couple gets married. So if they get divorced or if she becomes a widow, she's entitled to Mosai, right? Or 200 zuz for a psula and 100 zuz for an amon. That is a t'nai Beis Din. That is something that that she's entitled to. And if the husband claims that he's already paid it back, we don't listen to him. Lo amar klum. We don't listen to him. My time I'll come. Ko maise Beis Din, any t'nai Beis Din, k'man denokit shtar b'yodei domi. It's as if she is holding this document that says, hey, you owe me money, and he can't say, I already paid it back. Okay. Om le b'chir ba'abal le b'yochanan, says b'chir ba'abal le b'yochanan, don't we already have this Mishnah? Otzi aget ve'ini moksuba is a Mishnah from Masechta Ksubis. Otzi aget, that if she comes to Beis Din with her get ve'ein imo ksuba, and there's no ksuba document with it, she just comes to Beis Din with her get, go v'ksubasa, she can collect her ksuba the monomosine. So we see that she comes with a get. She shows that she's divorced. He has to pay her ksuba. And he can't say that he already paid it. So we see from this Mishnah, this principle of kol ma'ase bezdin, lo amaklum. What does it say? Atoy nacha ma'ase bezdin, lo amaklum. So we see that from that Mishnah. So amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, that's correct. Ilav, didaloi lichochaspa, lo mishkachas makanisa tusa. But if not for the fact that I picked up for you the shard of pottery, you would not have found the pearl underneath it. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan says, very good, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. That's correct. That is the, you know, yes, you did identify this Mishnah, but if not for the fact that I had first made this sort of rule of Atoy Nacha Ma'aseh Bezdin, Lo Amar Klum, you never would have thought to apply that Mishnah and generalize it in such a way. Okay. So we see that this Mishnah proves Rabbi Yochanan's point that Atoy Nacha Ma'aseh Bezdin, Lo Amar Klum, that when there's a Tanai Bezdin, that you know, when there's a ksuba payment, he cannot say, you know, I paid it back. He's simply not trusted. But now Abaye, though, is not convinced that that Mishnah from Ksubis is teaching Hatoyin Achamayze Bezdin Lo Amar Klum. It could be that there's a practical reason why she gets paid Mone Mosayim when she shows up to Bezdin with her get, because says Abaye, Amar Abaye, my Marganisa, what's the great pearl over here with this Mishnah? Duma b'makum shein kosvin ksuba askin, and maybe just simply, practically speaking, we're talking about a place where the minig was not to write ksubas. They didn't write down ksubas. It's a Tanai Bezdin. She's entitled to Mone Mosayim. This was a place where they didn't necessarily write it down. She comes to court with her get, she proves that she's divorced, so she's entitled to Mana Mosayim. So it's not because, but let's go back to for a second. Oh, my body, my magnesa, Dilma Bakum Shen Kosun Ksuba Askinan, the get Hanu Ksuba, so that her get basically serves as her Ksuba, Avo Bamakum Shen Kosun Ksuba, but in a place where they do write Ksubas, Inakita Ksuba Gabio, Ilo, Lo Gabio. So that, but if it was a place where the minig is to write a ksuba, well, she wouldn't automatically be entitled to this ksuba, and her husband would not be trusted to say that it was paid. She would have to produce the ksuba, and if she can't produce the ksuba, then she wouldn't get that. She wouldn't receive the ksuba payment. So therefore, Abaye says, I'm not convinced that this Mishnah is proving that Atoy Nacha Ma'aseh Bezdin Lo Amar Klum. Perhaps it's practically speaking, the reason why she's entitled to get her ksuba payment when she produces a get is simply because it's a place where the minig was that they don't write ksubas. If it were a minig to write ksubas, so then she wouldn't be able to collect it without producing the ksuba. Omer Abaye, but then Abaye says, Lav milsahi da'ami, I take back the practical approach to say that maybe it's simply a place where they don't write the ksubas, and I agree with what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that the reason why what the Mishnah is saying is that she can collect her ksuba no matter what, and the husband would be, you know, because she's entitled to the ksuba because it's ma'aseh bezdin, and we don't believe the husband to say that it's already been paid back. The salkadaitech b'makom shein kosvin ksuba askinim, because if it would enter your mind that we're simply talking about a place where they don't write ksubas, and that's why she can collect a ksuba without producing a document of a mokvish kosvin ksuba, but in a place where they write ksubas, in a kita ksuba gabio, if she produces a ksuba, then she would collect ilo, lo gabio, but if she cannot produce a ksuba, then she would not collect. But almona mina erisin b'may gabio. But what about almona mina erisin? What about if you have a couple was engaged, Arison, and the fiance dies, so and she would collect her ksuba. Now we wouldn't necessarily write the ksuba at that point. The ksuba would the assumption is that the ksuba would have been written at the nisuin, at the actual, you know, marriage, at the actual wedding, at the chuppah. And therefore, so if that's the case, so if she is betrothed and her fiance, let's call him, dies, so now she would be entitled to the mana masayim. Now there wasn't the, now the ksuba wasn't necessarily written yet, and yet she's able to collect the mana masayim. But if it were a place where the minig is to write a ksuba, then how would she be able to collect her ksuba payment? Because she doesn't have the ksuba yet. Right? So where am I? So again, so I'm backing up a little bit. Amrabai Lav Milsi the Amri. Forget what I said about, you know, Davka being in a place where they don't have the minig to write ksubas, because the Isaka Daitich Bemokushen Kosvin Ksuba Askinan. Because if it enters your mind, like I suggested, that the reason why she could receive her payment is specifically because it's a place where the minig is not to write a ksuba, avav makom shekosvin ksuba, but where the minig is to write a ksuba, well then you have to produce a ksuba. In a kita ksuba gabio, ilo lo gabio. If she can produce a ksuba, then she can receive the ksuba payment. If not, then not. So amana mina erisin b'may gabio. But then what happens in the scenario of a widow from erisin? How will she collect her mana masayim? The assumption is that she doesn't, that the ksuba has not yet been written. Be'de misa sabal. Well, it would be based on the testimony of witnesses that say that the husband is dead. Liton velema, but let the heirs say, paraite, that she's already been paid. Because after all, otherwise, provide your ksuba. V'chitei ma'achinami, and if you say that, yes, they can make such a claim. Imken ma'u'ilu chacham b'takanosa. But then, what do the chacham accomplish with their takana to say that she would be able to receive her ksuba from Erisin, if practically speaking, the heirs can simply say that it's already been paid, and she would be stuck. So rather, it can't be that necessarily in a place where the minig is to write a ksuba, she would only be able to collect if she produces her ksuba, and if not, then not, because then we would run into trouble with the scenario of almono min ha'erisin. Amrle makshisha brei. The Rav Chizda, the Rav Ashi, but now Markshisha Bei Rav Chizda says to Rav Ashi, one second. We just made an assumption that Amona Min Ha'erisin collects a ksuba. But the Amona Min Ha'erisin, the Isla Ksuba Minolan. But how do we know this? Abaye's whole reason for saying, you know, forget about what I had said. Right? Abaye initially suggested that the Mishnah was talking about that it's specifically a place where the minig is not to write a ksuba. Abaye then rejected it based on the fact, well, then what about Amona Min Ha'erisin? The Gemara now questions, but how do we know that Amona Min Ha'erisin is entitled to a ksuba? Ilem, if you're going to say Mihadat Tanan, if you're going to suggest, well, it's from the following Mishnah. Nis Armelo o Nis Garsha, Bein Min Ha'erisin, Bein Min Anisun. Okay, if a woman becomes a widow or a divorcee, whether it's from Erisin, from betrothal, or from Nisun, Gove Esako. She collects everything. Now, hakol means the mana masayim, the baseline amount, but also the tosefes, right? Anything that was added, thrown in to the ksuba payment, right? So dilma eicha de kosav lo. So maybe that's davka where it is where they did write a ksuba already from the Erisin, right? So meaning if we want to suggest that from the fact that it says Bein Min Ha'erisin, Bein Min Anisuin, right, that she would collect the ksuba even if she, you know, even from Erisin, but maybe that's Davka where they had written a ksuba. V'chitein b'may l'meimah, and if you're going to say, well, if they wrote a ksuba, obviously she would collect it. So what's the chiddush? Well, lafukim midor Rabbi ben Azariah, well, to the exclusion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, tomer shelo kosav lo el amanas lekonsa. It's drichale. That, well, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the whole point of the ksuba is specifically with the intention that he's going to marry her, right? Nisuin. If that doesn't work out, so then you don't need to pay the ksuba. So the Tanakam is saying, to the exclusion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, that you would nonetheless pay the ksuba, but it could, Daf could be talking about where it was written. But if it wasn't written, then maybe she would not receive, you know, by default, the mana masayim min ha'erisin. Dekanami, you can also infer that Davka we're talking about in this case where it was written, Dekatoni Gove Sako, that she can collect everything, not just the mana masayim, but also the tosefes. Yomer Bishlomo Dekosavlo, so this makes sense if it was written down, Hainu de katani, gove es hakol. That's what it means, that she collects everything, including the Tosefis, right? Anything above and beyond the basic mana mosaim would obviously have to be written down somewhere. Yomar de lo kosav lo, my gove es hakol. But if it's talking about where it wasn't written down and she's collecting, what do you mean? She's collecting everything. Manu masayimu de isla. She collects the manu masayim, but nothing more than that. If nothing else was written, right? If nothing was written down, so that mishnah must dafka be talking about where iksuva was written. It would not inform us that if iksuva was not written, she would nonetheless be entitled to collect the manu masayim. So it does not teach that there's manu masayim for Remina Eirusin. Ve'ela midutani Reb Chiya bar Ami. Okay, but what about that which Reb Chiya bar Ami taught? Ishto arusa, that if a person is betrothed, lo onin v'lo matamilo, he doesn't. And so if a couple is betrothed and then his fiance passes away, lo onin, he doesn't practice aninus, like for example not to eat kodshim as an onin v'lo matamilo. If he's a kohen, he would not become tamei for her, right? If it was only mina erisin, v'chein hilo onenes, also she would not practice aninus v'lo matamilo. She would have no obligation to become tamei to him. Mesa, if she dies, eno yorsha, he does not inherit her. Mace, who? Now, if he dies, gova ksubasa, she would collect her ksuba, right? If he dies and she becomes a widow, she would collect her ksuba. So we see already from Erisin, there is ksuba v'dilma, kos dilma de kosav la. Yeah, but then again, maybe that's davka where a ksuba was written, but if there was no ksuba written, there's no indication that she would, by default, be paid manu masayim. Chitema idukosav lo my lememro. And if you're going to say, well, yeah, but if it was written, then obviously, whatever if a document was written, right, saying that she would be owed this money, so then of course she's owed the money. So meisa eno yarsha it's three chale. Well, in a chinami, yeah. If we say that it's written down, then there's no chiddush dafka about if he dies that she would collect the ksuba if it's written down and documented. Of course. The chiddush though would be that if she dies, he does not inherit her, right? That part of the brisa was necessary to teach. Okay, so going back to Abaye initially suggested that that mishnah in ksubas, which says that if she produces her get, she can collect her ksuba. Abaye suggested that may not be teaching Rabbi Yochanan's principle of a toinach ha'maisa bezdin lo amar klum. Maybe there's a practical explanation for that mishnah, which is simply a place where they don't write ksubas. But if it was a place where they write ksubas, she wouldn't be able to collect like that. She would have to produce her ksuba first. Abaye had said, no, that can't be based on the fact that Amona Mina Erisin, how would she collect, without, in a place where the minig is to write a ksuba, how would she be able to collect if they hadn't yet written the ksuba? To which we then started saying, yeah, but that assumes that she inherently has a right to a ksuba payment from Erisin, and we haven't been able to prove that. So therefore Abaye says, okay, you know what? That line of reasoning of saying, well, then how do you explain Amona Mina Erisin can't be the explanation for why he turned back, why he walked back his challenge on using the proof to prove Hatoyin Achamayse Bezdin Lo Amar Klum. So Elo Abaye Migufa Demasnisin Kohadarbe. Rather, what caused Abaye to walk back and to agree with Rabbi Yochanan that this Mishnah supports Hatoyin Achamayse Bezdin Lo Amar Klum is because the Mishnah itself proves that it cannot be talking about Davka, a place where they do not write down ksubas. Because if it enters your mind, like Abaye initially suggested, that it's Davka talking about a place where they don't write ksubas, and that's why she can collect her ksuba without a ksuba? The get, hanu ksubasa, and therefore the get is what serves as her ksuba, because if they don't write down ksubas, then what enables her to collect? By providing the get. But to get manu masayim ksivbe, but the get doesn't say anything about collecting manu masayim. V'chitema came to takinu rabbanon lemigbala command chsiv be domi. And if you're going to say, okay, any chinam, it doesn't say anything about manam asayim, but since the chacham said that in a place where they don't write ksubas, so producing the get is what will allow her to collect the ksubas, so therefore it's as if it's written manam asayim. But liton velema paraiti. Well, then let him just say like, well, I already paid it back. That we say to him, well, iparaita, if you already paid it back, then you should have torn up the get. But Amarlan, he would just respond, lo shav koson. Well, I wasn't allowed to tear up the get because Amar, she said, ba'ina le'ansuve be. I needed to get remarried, right? Meaning I need the get so that anybody, if I want to get remarried, they can't say, well, aren't you already married? No, I'll provide my get. So therefore, it couldn't be torn up. V'chitem if you're going to say, amina le, that will say to him, ibar lach l'makarye, well, you should have nonetheless torn it up, umichta v'agabe, and then to write on it, gita denon, that this get, dekaranuhu, that we tore it up, lo mishum de gita psulahu, it's not because it's a puzzle get, hele keichid lo tigbe, be, zimna achwise, it's just so that she wouldn't be able to collect from it again. Right, so he should have done that. He should have at least torn it up and wrote something on it to say, look, it's a valid get, she is divorced, but I just want to make sure that she wouldn't be able to collect with it again. Or to quote Migbe, Bedina Migbe, yeah, but still that isn't necessarily a good rationale because what does everybody who collects, right, collect in Bezdin that he would necessarily be able to write this note on it and have it be validated there that it was in fact only torn up so that she can't collect with it again. And therefore, he would theoretically be able to claim that I already paid it, right? Because meaning any pushback that they would give him, say, well, then why didn't you tear it up? I couldn't tear it up. She said that she needs it to get remarried. Well, you should have, written something on it. Yeah, but I wasn't in Bezdin to ever, right? So if we're saying that the reason why she would be able to collect by producing her get is specifically because it's in a place where they don't write ksubas, well then the get is be'etzim serve, functioning as the ksuba, so let him say, I already paid it back. So, let us be concerned about that. So rather from the fact that we are not concerned about it, it means that it is proving Rab Yochanan's point, which is, hatoyin achar ma'aseh bezdin lo amar klum, that a person cannot claim to have already paid back the ksuba, because ksuba is a ma'aseh bezdin, and therefore he will have to pay it, and this Mishnah is supporting Reb Yochanan. Peace.